When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your girl, Jessie Mapeluso. This is a very special Grief Survival Guide mini-series, part 26. This is There's No Place Like Home. This week, my sister and I had to sell our childhood home. So for the past 10 days, I've been in upstate New York dealing with that experience and going through that process. And it has been enlightening in many different ways. So I share all of that on today's episode. And I'm going to ask you to rate the podcast. We want 5-star ratings. Get right over, click it, make it happen, make my dreams come true. I'm here for you. You're here for me. This is how it works. This May Bay community. And thank you guys so much for listening every week to this podcast. Share it with a friend, especially these Grief Survival Guide mini series episodes. Anyone you know who's going through any type of grief, send them the link. Maybe this will help them. Maybe this will make somebody feel less alone going through whatever experience they're going through pertaining to loss. And don't forget to come see me live. I'm coming to a city near you, jessiemay.com/tour for tickets. March 29th and 30th, I'll be in Panama City Beach, Florida. I believe that's the city, opening a new club there, Beaches, for the weekend. So that'll be March 29th and 30th. Also in May, I'm going to be in Los Angeles. I'll be performing for the Netflix is a Joke Festival. That'll be at the Bourbon Room May 10th, one night only. I've got a bunch of friends coming with me, Crystal Marie, Katie Cazorla, and more. I also am going to be in Syracuse, New York again. I was just in Texas, so shout out to Texas for coming out to those shows. I'm also going to be in Oklahoma and a bunch of other cities that don't come to my mind right now, but go to jessiemay.com/tour. Come see me live because it's going to be a blast. And without further ado, I hope you guys enjoy this week's episode of the Grief Survival Guide mini-series, part 26, There's No Place Like Home.
Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep, 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 beep. You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie Mae Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up.
This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary,
a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's going to get dirty.
You might cry. You probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh.
Talk about my dog sometimes.
Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's going to be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're going to get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me. Hey, everybody. This is a grief survival guide, I believe part 26, There's No Place Like Home, and I am in my childhood home. I'm sitting in the kitchen of my childhood home, and it feels weird. It feels weird because soon this will no longer be my childhood home because we have sold it. And in my heart, it will always be my childhood home. This is the place I grew up. I only grew up in one home, which I feel really fortunate about. I know a lot of people moved around and perhaps that was something that you enjoyed or you gained some perspective and possibly learned some things about yourself because you are highly adaptable because you lived in multiple places. I grew up in one single home under one single roof with multiple dads. We get into that. I mean, I've talked about it so many times before. A very quintessential lifestyle, I think, for this part of the world to have what they call a broken home. But the home didn't feel broken. I have a lot of amazing memories from this place. And it has been so bittersweet to go through this process of essentially another grief, another loss, if you want to look at it that way. Although I do believe through each loss, there are multiple gains to be had and felt and to benefit from. I'm positive. I try to have a positive outlook. Not all the time, because I don't know if that's healthy. I think it's okay to have some perspective and a spectrum of perspective. But I am no stranger to loss. And this is another major loss in life. This is a milestone, I think, that you go through as an adult. And I thought throughout this week of being here, I've been here for about 10 days now in upstate New York, Syracuse, New York, where I'm from, the north side of Syracuse specifically. And I've been here for about 10 days, and this is the first day where I actually feel normal. This is the first day where I don't feel so heavy and felt I had enough energy to talk to you guys and talk to you about this process and what I've been going through. Because I was thinking about when I started the Grief Survival Guide after my mom died, and I was winging it. And this podcast is pretty much Wong as well. Wong, wing it, wang, wing, wong, wang, however you want to say it. And this time I did write down, as I was going through the process of being here for these past 10 days, thoughts, ideas, and items that I thought would be good for today's episode. And I'm glad that today I feel like myself, because I feel like I can relay those to you without hopefully blubbering into your ear. I will warn you, Surgeon General's warning, I probably will cry. This is a heavy subject matter. It's a heavy space, but there is so much light that I feel right now today. So I'm glad that I'm here talking with you guys about this. I basically wrote down 10 things that I have felt and epiphanies that I've had through this process of selling this home. You know, I grew up in this house with my mom, my dad, my sister, and myself, and eventually somebody else's dad moved in, and he just recently moved out. He became my stepfather, and we don't have to go through the whole history, the whole chronological marital history and familial history that I have been through as an adult and child. There's plenty of that throughout different episodes sprinkled throughout this podcast that you can check out, but pretty stereotypical, I think, of a family in this part of the world. And this house harbors all of my childhood memories, all of them. And it's such a unique space to have and to sit in right now, knowing that little Jessie Mae grew up and had so much love. And under this roof and within these walls, I dreamed and had the biggest ideas of who I'd become. And here I am sitting here. I'm already starting to cry. And I'm not, please don't listen to this and think I'm some great grand person and my life has culminated to this magnificent point. It's only an individual speaking about their life. It's my only life that I've had, and it's interesting to have a perspective from one singular place. I had that thought on my way over here today. I dreamt about becoming who I am. And I'm here today and just trying to imagine that little girl up in her bedroom right upstairs, dreaming of getting out of this town and dreaming of being in front of an audience. And I don't even know why I wanted that. You know, I bet you a lot of psychologists will tell you it has to do with neglect or it has to do with some form of child abuse. But there's also positive things that can drive a child to want to perform. I think for my sake, I was loved by all of my parents, my stepdad included. And I wasn't lacking in that. So I know that my drive to be entertaining and to entertain came from somewhat of a pure place. And I think I've talked about this before. You know, my sister was my first audience member. And I remember, I have a vivid memory, a core memory of entertaining her in that room back there. And if you're watching the episode, again, I'm in my kitchen. There's a bathroom to my left, which I'm so mad that I left the door open. I can't stand when there's doors open when you can see a video. Also, I have to say, side note, I can't stand that we have to do video now for podcasting. I think it's so distracting. And I really would love just to get back to audio. My last episode that I posted for International Women's Day was just audio, and it was delightful. But right behind me, in this room right behind me, our dining room, we called it the den, the living room, rather. And off of that is our dining room, which used to be our bedroom. This house has a lot of history. I don't have to go into the blueprints of what each room was. But in the den right behind me, I remember this first memory I have of entertaining my sister and her laugh hitting my bloodstream and the core of my being like a drug. And I used to do this person called the closet lady. And that would consist of me around the age of eight. My sister is about, she's 4 years older. So whatever that math is, She would tell me to go. She told me, this might've been the first time I did it, to go into the closet. And actually, no, take it back. I just went into the closet and I picked one of everything, a hat, one boot, one high heel, a trench coat, a vest, an umbrella, a bat, a flashlight. I just grabbed a whole bunch of items from my mom's closet, put them on and came out and did this woman called Closet Lady and entertained my sister and just did some dance and some routine and it made her laugh. And I have the core memory of it happening right back in that room. I can see the moment. And that right then, I think, was the moment where I was like, oh, this is fun. How do I do this forever? And as an adult coming back here and knowing that I spent my whole life under this one roof, I feel really fortunate. It's one of the feelings I had is that, like I said, for a lot of people probably moved around. If you guys moved around a lot, tell me how you felt growing up. Did that affect you adversely? How do you think that that prepared you for life? Shoot me an email because I'm interested to know. JessieMayPelusoComedy@gmail.com. What your upbringing was like. Did you grow up in one home? Did you grow up in multiple? And how do you think that that prepared you properly or improperly for life as an adult? And what skills and what adversity were you able to overcome from that experience? I'm really interested to know that because I know for myself, I feel like growing up in one place made me able to set up home very quickly in all the places I lived. I think I had a clear vision of how I wanted my space to be. And in all the places that I've lived, all the cities that I've lived, I've been able to create a home in each of those places for myself very quick because I think my idea and my experience of home was so solid and secure for the most part that I was able to create that for myself. So I want to talk a little bit about what I've experienced this past week. And this isn't necessarily a how to sell your childhood home as much as it is like this mini series is within this podcast, a survival guide on how to sell your home, your childhood home, because it is such an emotional experience. And I will say I'm a very sensitive individual. I'm sensitive on all ends. I think it definitely is something that has prohibited and helped me in different areas. I think it prohibits me because I'm so sensitive that it takes me longer to process things because I feel things deeper and I feel things very deeply. And I'm sensitive on all ends. I'm photosensitive. I have an audio sensory sensitivity and all these other things. I'm not saying I'm on the spectrum. This is just how I am and how I've been since I've been a child. But when it comes to emotions, I'm extremely emotionally sensitive. And that can be challenging. It can be challenging as an adult because so much can trigger you. And so I have learned to really mitigate that with different tools and different tricks. But when it comes to experiences like this, I really think it, for me, it's important to feel it all. And so the things that I've learned about myself this past week have to do with that aspect of being a very sensitive person. But the first thing, number one out of the 10 things I want to tell you is to give yourself time and space to go through this process. It is and can be a very overwhelming process for anybody, rather regardless of if you're a sensitive person or not. This is a very overwhelming experience. And there's no way to know how you're going to react. It's kind of like a tragedy or trauma or some sort of traumatic event. You don't know how you're going to react until you're in the situation because this can be a very traumatic event and it can be triggering, especially if you've been through things with your family members, depending on your family unit. I can't imagine how people who are solo and only children deal with these situations because we have had to, and I have had to lean on my entire family throughout this process. And so it's so important to give yourself time. And that was one of the points of, I think, the points of contention between my sister and I in the beginning. She deals with things differently. And you have to give people that space. You have to give people that grace and give them whatever they need because everyone deals with things differently. So you just have to give them the benefit of the doubt for whatever they need to do to deal with it. And early on, you know, my sister's a little bit more, not less sensitive, but she's kind of dead inside. I'm totally kidding. She deals with things quicker. She has to. She's a mom. You know, her life is much more different than mine. And I think in the beginning, neither of us really considered that fully. I needed more time to process the sale of the house. She was ready to sell the house right away. She probably would have sold it in a weekend if she could have. But we had to come to some sort of agreement. And so I knew about myself that I needed to give myself time. I knew I needed time to be in here. And because I had time to be in here, it made me think of all of these epiphanies that I'm going to go through and tell you guys about. So that's number one, is to give yourself some time and space to be in this place before you even sell it. And you might not think you need it. I guarantee that you won't regret having it, because you can't go backwards. And if you aren't struggling financially, if you don't need to sell the house right away, which neither her and I, thank God, didn't need to do, give yourself some time to sell the house. Depending on the market, we were very lucky because it is a seller's market right now, especially in this part of New York State. We're in upstate New York, which is a very appealing and attractive real estate space to be in. So we were very fortunate in that sense. So I realize that there are limitations to these. But for the most part, I needed time, I needed space, and I'm so glad I had it. I wish I had more, because the more I come home, the more I want to revisit different rooms and see what it can bring up and see what memories I can recall and touch items and just to have that moment and give myself that moment. Because I think in this life, we speed through everything. Everything is so expedited and we're on this conveyor belt. That if you're allowed to give yourself time in any scenario, whether it's selling a home, whether it's making a decision about anything, giving yourself some space and time can allow you to really think about things clearly and experience things fully. And that goes into number two, communicate with your family, with your siblings, if you have to deal with them, because it's going to be triggering. I'd be lying if I didn't say my sister and I argued and had a hard time. We had a very difficult time. I'd be lying if I said we didn't. This is a very triggering and emotional experience to go through. And besides all that, it's adulting at its fullest. You have to know the market. You need to know a real estate agent. Then you got to consider, you know, moving and how people are going to help you. What about donations? What about things that we have to throw out that are not safe and have to be considered for the EPA? If you have a bunch of paint cans in the basement, you can't just throw those in a dumpster. How do you get a dumpster? There's so many things to consider. I suggest really communicating with your siblings ahead of time, and not just about the logistics, because there is an endless list of logistics. It's also about knowing what each sibling is really good at and in exploiting their strengths. My sister's good at logistics for the most part. And I'm pretty good at it as well. But when it comes to something that I'm so emotionally close to, I'm better at actually looking through things and seeing down the road, is that something you're going to regret giving up? And also allowing my sister her own space and time to experience this process. So we knew what our strengths and our weaknesses were. And you have to communicate through those to sort of be able to experience this with as minimal road bumps and obstacles as possible. But you are going to have obstacles. We had so many to deal with, and communicating your expectations, your wants, your fears, and making requests ahead of time can really help this process. I was scared to let go, and my sister was ready, I think, to let go, because I think she moves on by moving on. And I like to experience things a little bit more, and I'm like a turtle, which is funny because I grew up on Turtle Street. And my sister's the bunny rabbit. So we had to find the middle ground in that race. So communicating was vital. And I think honestly, by us taking time, it gave us space to yell and to argue and to cool off and to come back and to go, okay, I know you need this and I know I need this. So where is that middle ground? And can we come to it together without completely fracturing our relationship in the process? And we did that successfully, not without road bumps, not without obstacles, but those obstacles are what I think make the relationship even stronger. So I'm so grateful that I was able to communicate with her and that we came to some sort of agreement. Number three, call in those favors. Call in favors. People want to help you. You are not going to be able to do this alone. Do not try to take it on alone. You're going to need hands. And my sister had two strong lesbians show up and help us carry things out. We went through my mom's basement, which was filled with stuff, and my mom's attic, which was filled with stuff, literally bags of stuffed animals from the 80s. Like, these things for sure caused mesothelioma for sure. All sorts of lung cancer. You hug that bear, you're going to Cedar Sinai after. But my sister's girlfriends, my aunts, my uncles came over and they helped us. And you know what I realized when I was thinking about this? Calling in favors and having people help us move and get rid of all that stuff gave my sister and I more time to communicate, more time to sit with a couple items, to really think about what we wanted. Do we want to throw this in the dumpster because we had a dumpster right in the driveway? Or do we want to just hold on for a minute and think about, maybe is this something that we're going to want down the road? So by calling in a favor and having extra people and extra hands on deck, it gave us some time to be able to really think about what we were throwing away. And, you know, you probably feel bad asking for help, but people want to help. They want to fucking help. If only just to be good friends, but also because there's, you know, an experience in that. There's something about being able to be there for somebody and being able to be the logistical and pragmatic person in this very emotional experience. There was this one moment where my sister's friend, Crystal, asked me if I wanted to keep something or was it going to be thrown away? And I'm looking at it and it was decorations. It was like Christmas decorations. And I grabbed it. I'm like, no, I want it. And then I looked at it and I go, no, just take it and throw it all away. And it took me a minute, but she sat there. She goes, I saw that whole thought process. And I realized this is what it must feel like when people are on that show Hoarders. When people have to throw things away that they have an emotional attachment to. And I just saw that whole mental process. I saw you go through that experience completely. And I had to grab it, think about the memory it brought me, and realize that that memory, even though it is in that item, the memory is really living in me. And so you have to ask yourself, do you want items to hold your memories or do you want to hold on to them? And that was what helped me let go even more by having these people here. And number four is really important. And one of the reasons why I wanted to have some time being here, and one of the things I needed most in this process, and I knew I needed it. I was afraid to ask for it, but I asked for it because I knew that it was going to be the most important thing to me. And number four is sitting in silence and being alone in the house, not recording a podcast, not doing anything, just hearing the house, walking through the house. The house has so many specific sounds. And I know you guys know what I'm talking about. When I used to get in trouble, my mom used to open this door in the kitchen and it has such a specific sound. It sounds like discipline coming my way. And I can hear it. I can hear it every time I think about my mom yelling at me. I can hear this sound. I recorded it on my phone. I recorded it because I wanted to be able to have it forever. And my boyfriend actually told me to do that because you should record that and keep it. And I thought that was such a good idea. There's so many sounds in this house that you'll probably eventually forget, but being in silence in the home will give you time to let the house talk to you. As corny as that sounds, the house spoke. There were so many noises. There's so many creaks in the floor. There's so many specific sounds that only exist in your house. And it's the soundtrack of your childhood. And to be here and to know that I'm not going to hear that ever again. It sounds so melodramatic, but you're kind of saying goodbye to your childhood when you're selling the home. And it's not that you have to say goodbye to it to ever forever. Like I said, I really believe memories live on in you. Memories are messages from the past that you can hold on to. but it is very painful to think that this is forever. Like, I am saying goodbye to this house, and in a way it feels like I'm saying goodbye to my childhood, and maybe in a way I need to say goodbye to it to create some more space for what's to come for me. And I really believe, you know, there's this saying that the girl becomes a woman when her mother dies. Well, I think the person becomes an adult when you sell your childhood home or whatever that equivalent is for you. I feel like I've become an adult in these past 10 days in the process of letting go pieces of my home. And I feel better suited to let go of this home because I've had to let go of both of my parents. And all of my memories of them are in these walls. And so it's been such a big moment for me and such a heavy experience. But I've been trying to let go and have let go of so much. So being here and being able to sit in silence allowed me to just travel back in time. It's like time traveling. And just hearing what the house has to say to me, listening to the yard, the sounds of the yard. For some reason, spring is so loud here. The birds are so fucking loud. God, they have so much to say. It's like, who are they talking about? They're like, chip, 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 God. It's like, they, literally, I get why people call women birds. It sounds like a bunch of women at brunch out on the branch. And those noises, even just sitting in the backyard, the types of birds that are out here, like, it brings me right back. I love the sound of mourning doves because there must have been one that was outside my window from my whole life. You know, they sound like spot on. Where's David Attenborough when you need him? We interrupt this overly sappy episode of the Sharp Tongue Podcast to bring you a word from our sponsors. Oak Essentials are back. That's right, baby. Are you ready to luxuriate? Are you ready to feel luxurious and have the best skincare brand on your face, in your body, even your knuckles? Have you checked your knuckles lately? They're dry. Your whole body is dry. If you're like me, you're flaky. I look like the desert floor, and I've needed help. I've told you about the body balm. Have you even got it? The moisture-rich balm? Nutrient-rich balm that supports collagen production and delivers serious hydration for a luminous glow. Are you going to sit here and tell me that you don't want to glow from the inside out? You better bag that balm before it sells out. It's so luxurious. And they use great ingredients. They use sea buckthorn fruit oil. I don't know what it is, but it feels great. Organic cocoa seed butter. That is like the holy grail for hydration. They also use organic coconut oil. All this stuff is organic. It's good for your skin. It's going to hydrate you. You can buy the moisture-rich balm on its own, or you can do one of their bundles. They have this Oak Essential best-selling bundle for a simple start-to-finish skincare routine. Not to mention, it makes a great gift for any skincare lover in your life. Let me tell you, they sent me the Perfecting Body Scrub. I scrubbed away years of regret. What are you waiting for? Get on the Oak Essentials train. And for my listeners, listen, you can treat yourself or someone else this season. My followers will get 15% off and a free organic honey-based restorative mask with their first order when they use code SHARP at checkout. That's 15% off plus a free gift with your first order at oakessentials.com. Promo code SHARP, S-H-A-R-P. OAKESSENTIALS.com. I think I spelled that right. OakEssentials.com. Use code SHARP for 15% off your first order and a free gift. I already feel luxurious. Being able to be here in silence and hearing the noises that this house has filled my ears with my whole life has been a very cathartic experience and very important to the process of letting go. And number five, take pics, take videos, record the sounds, record the backyard. You might think it's dumb and you're not going to look at it, but you might also want to look at it and bring yourself back and also take pictures of the moving process and people helping you and what that's like and as many as you can, because you can always get rid of them later. But there is something beautiful about being able to capture this specific time in your life and being able to document that and having those just forever. And, you know, my sister took a bunch of really beautiful photos of people helping us and a lot of funny photos. And you can take pictures of the items that you're about to throw out and be able to look at them still and realize I'm glad I didn't keep 1,000 Cabbage Patch cards, which I did keep a bunch of them. And you better believe I kept a lot of New Kids on the Block shit. It's up in the attic right now with all the mesothelioma dust. I'm going to go up there after this and dust it off and throw it in the washing machine and sport it in the streets and show all these girls. Yeah. These shirts are older than you. So you're welcome. But yeah, take photos, take pictures. Number six is really simple. Don't forget to eat. There's been so many times these past 10 days I haven't eaten because I've been so emotional. Bring snacks, plan meals, make sure you're eating, and make sure you're resting. Those two things are so important during this process because it is going to be emotional and you're going to be overwhelmed. I had 2 days of extreme migraines, and I usually don't get migraines. And I have felt sick. I have felt under the weather and so emotionally run down that, you know, I realized I hadn't been sleeping well and I definitely haven't been eating as I normally eat. And so just make sure that you do that. Make sure you're making time to recharge and take care of yourself in this process. Again, this might not apply to you. I might be just a baby. This could be just because I'm a total friggin' baby, but it also might apply to you. So make sure you eat, make sure you sleep. It's very simple. Number seven is something I thought about on the way here, and it was a genius idea. And not that I'm calling myself a genius, but I pretty much am a genius. You know, it's really hard to let go of things. There's so much stuff, and my mom had so much stuff. And how do you keep it? How do you know what to let go of? I didn't know how much I wanted to keep. And honestly, I just want to keep everything because that's how I am. But there's a way of doing both. There's a way of keeping something and there's a way to let it go. There's a way to keep an item and there's a way to also let go of it. And the way to do that is to give the items you're not sure that you want to throw away to people you know, to friends and family. You know, there's this mixer. Have I ever baked a cake? No, I've never baked a fucking cake, but I want my mom's mixer. I'm not a baker. I barely cook. I'm too busy. I'm traveling all the time, but it's my mom's mixer. And, you know, I'm going to give it to my aunt. I'm going to give it to my aunt because then that way I'll have it still. And she said, you know, if you want it back, you just let me know, but at least it's in good hands. Now, if I have to fight this woman to get that mixer back, you better believe I will fight her. I'll take the boxing gloves off and go spar with Aunt Janet in the backyard to get the freaking mixer back if I have to. So not only are you able to keep the item, you're also able to have a boxing match with your aunt. Win-win. But it is a great way to get rid of something and also keep it. Find a friend or a family member who you're close with or somebody who you can trust, and you're able to keep that item, but also let it go so you don't feel like you belong on Hoarders New Season, which you don't belong on. We don't want you to be on that show. Number eight is probably the most important thing that I've experienced and wish I could experience more, and that's to reminisce, to laugh, to cry, to yell, to feel all the feels. And when I first got here, if someone could have seen me walk through this house, I probably looked like a crazy person because I got in and I was so emotional. I actually screamed at the top of my lungs. I screamed guttural. It was like an animal cry and it felt so good. I don't think it's anything I'd want anyone to see, but I'm glad that I did it for myself. I'm glad that I was able to let that out. And I think we hold so much in. There's not really a place you can go to feel those raw, visceral, almost animalistic emotions that we have. And grief really has a way of bringing those raw emotions out of you. Grief has a way of bringing out emotions that make you look ugly when you're experiencing them. And those are real emotions, you know? And I think those are emotions that need to be felt to their core and really be able to release them and let them go without worrying about what you sound like, what you look like, what other people are going to think. And so, yes, I did scream at the top of my lungs in my mom's house, in my dad's house. I did let that go. And I did laugh and I did cry. And I'm attempting to feel all the feels as much as I can so that there's no stone left unturned. Although my mom did collect a lot of stones. There's literally jars of stones. That's the other thing. You go through all this stuff in the house, you realize how many collections. My mom has a box of scissors. Well, she didn't have a box of scissors. She had scissors in every room, multiple scissors in every room. And I've started a box. It's on the porch right now. There's about 10. And that doesn't even cover about a fourth of the scissors that are in this house. I don't know what this bitch was cutting, but it certainly wasn't slack. I'll tell you that much. Nancy didn't cut any slack. So feel all the feels. That's one of the most important things you can do, is to really give yourself the full spectrum of emotions as much as humanly possible, and to not be afraid to feel those emotions, and to not be afraid to let it out and look ugly while you're experiencing them, and to really scream if you can. Go drive out to the woods. That's one of the things I highly recommend for anyone going through any sort of grieving process, whether it's letting go of a house, a person, a part of you. You have to go somewhere where you can really fully feel and express those feelings safely. And I think my sister does a lot of that through working out. I do as well. But you gotta sometimes just yell into a forest, into a cave. You gotta scream into something. You ever scream into your pillow? How good does it feel afterwards? You're like, I know that was insane, but man, do I feel good. So it's important to feel all those feels and cry and laugh and experience the full spectrum of emotion while you're going through this really wild experience of letting go of your home. 9 feels like probably cheesy for a lot of you. It feels like it's going to be cheesy for a lot of you, and you might be like, ah, what? But I am a firm believer in thanking and expressing gratitude, even to a home. And so 9 is to thank the home. And it's not so much that you're thanking the physical structure of the home, which I am. I am thanking the physical structure of this home, which is made up of 90% aluminum siding and asbestos, whatever that stuff is. I'm also thanking the walls, the electricity, the water. You know how fortunate we were that all of that worked throughout my childhood? And how ungrateful so many of you fucks are. Nothing's enough for you. I had water. I had electricity. I had love. I had food, even though it came in the cans. Even though it was Vienna sausages and mac and cheese. We had, and we weren't without. And so when you're thinking the home, you're thinking all of that. You're thinking the experiences you had. And I'm so grateful that I grew up in a house filled with love, and that my mom made every holiday so special. She put up a freaking Christmas village in our little part in the den, like in the window where there's like a little place where you can sit. I don't know what you call that, but like that little hutch area where there's a bench in front of the window. And underneath that, I found her Christmas village. And she used to lay down this like white felt to make that whole area look like snow. And she had all these houses that lit up, and she'd lay down these little glass trays that looked like ice, and she made it look like a little pond. We had a whole fucking city in our living room for Christmas. And she just had this way of making everything so magical. And I think that's probably why my dad loved her so much. It's because she just was so thoughtful and was so magical and had a way of making every holiday feel so beautiful. And as a kid, I remember waking up Christmas morning, which to this day is my favorite holiday because of this house and the lighting and everything. It felt like I was transported into a different time, into a different land. And there's something really special about that. And I feel so fortunate that I had that, and that this house encompasses all of those memories. And our birthday parties, we had so much family, so many family members over here. And, you know, I was lucky that my mom had sisters and a brother, and I had cousins. I had so much family, so many people in this house during all of the holidays. We also visited a bunch of houses because everyone was twice and thrice married. So it felt like a divorce world tour that we went on during the holidays, but I'm so grateful. And I think it's important to express that to the home. I think that's a part of letting go, and being able to be grateful for what you had will open up more space for you to receive more gifts. And this is probably cheesy too. When I first arrived here, I took my shoes off and I put my feet in the grass in the front yard. And I just told the house how much I loved it. And I'm really speaking to my past, and I'm speaking to my parents and expressing my gratitude to them that I was able to have a childhood that I'll miss. Not many people can say that. Not many people can say that they will miss their childhood. A lot of people are happy to miss their childhood because they didn't have such a good one. And mine wasn't perfect. My parents were not perfect. We definitely weren't rich. But man, I thought we were until my sister and I realized a year ago that we grew up poor. That's how magical my parents were. They were magicians. They should have taught a course on how to make your kids think you're rich on a budget. So I think being able to express gratitude to the house allows you to let go a little bit easier and to let go of your childhood a little bit more in this process of selling the home. In number 10, in all of this, is to let go. Letting go is the hardest thing we do. It's the hardest aspect of life, I think. At least for me, sometimes letting go of certain things is so difficult. But in the process of losing my dad, my mom, in this house, I've learned how to let go of things. And I was really proud of myself because I let go of a lot of shit. And I actually woke up the day after we cleaned out the basement and the attic. And I was like, oh, fuck, what did I do? Would I let go of too much? And I don't think you can ever let go of too much. I think you can hold on too much. And that's what really causes the problems. And the harder we hold on, the more restrictive our life gets. And the more we let go, the more things flow into us and into our world, into our atmosphere, and into our circle. You know, I'll tell you something funny. Well, not funny, but a lesson, I guess, that's buried in some sort of metaphor, I'm sure, or a metaphor buried in a lesson, or vice versa. I have this lantern. My mom had this lantern here, this lantern from like the 50s or 60s. It's a gas lantern, oil lantern rather. And it's a old style hourglass shape. And it has a, you know, a vat, a reservoir to put the oil. And it has the wick that you feed through the teeth. And it has a dial on the side and you keep raising the wick as it burns down. And it has this tiered glass top to funnel out the heat and the light. It was one of the only things I wanted from the house. When I think about my house, I think about that lantern because it was always in one place. And I always loved it as a kid. I don't know why. It made me feel like we lived in a castle, even though we lived on an aluminum-sided house on the north side of Syracuse, New York. But that candle just, the way it would burn, I felt like, oh man, my mom's probably got the very first Bible ever written. This candle feels really important. And I remember thinking about it as a kid and thought it was the coolest thing, and it was all I wanted. It was all I wanted to take home. Amidst a few other things, I'm really proud of all the stuff I was able to let go of. There's really just one chest of stuff I'm taking so far. It's not completely done. Let's see what happens. But there was this one lamp I wanted, and I'm leaving day before yesterday. And I have a migraine. This is when my migraine kicked in. This is when all the emotions culminated and everything that I had experienced and felt coalesced into one moment. And I was so utterly exhausted. I was so emotionally and physically spent from being here for 10 days, from experiencing and feeling all the feels, that as I was leaving the house, I picked up this lantern, which is two pieces, and I cradled it. And I thought, I'm going to carry this really carefully to the car. And I walked out of the house. And as I turned to go into the car, my sister's in the driver's seat, the top of the lantern fell off and shattered onto the driveway. And in that moment, I know my mom was dying laughing. I know she was like, of course. it and it freaking broke. Only the top part, the reservoir I still was cradling, but the top part hadn't been quite affixed in with the little prongs. There's like four prongs that sort of hold in that vase piece, and that just slipped right off and shattered, and I bawled my eyes out. That was a point where I felt the worst, where I was like, you're so stupid. You're doing something when you're tired and you're not thinking. You should have just left it in the house. All of this self-loathing conversation I was having, and my sister quickly got out of the car. She's like, don't worry about it. It's okay. It's okay. And we're going to find a new one. And she went back into the house and got a broom and a dustpan and dusted off all the glass that shattered everywhere. And I know Nancy was just dying laughing, because it's just so us. That's something that would happen to either one of my mom or I. We covet this one piece and we're like, oh, this is the one thing I want, and I got it, and I may feel like shit, and there may be a migraine running through my head like a train right now, but at least I got my lantern. And just as I get to the fucking car, it shatters. And I have to say, losing big things makes it easier to lose little things. And all life is a lesson in loss. And all grief is the love you feel when you're experiencing loss. Grief is a message. It's a message from the past. It's an emotion, and it's so personal that there's really no guide that's going to make it any easier. I hope my guides make it a little bit more manageable for you guys while you're going through whatever loss you're experiencing. But being able to lose more will make you a winner throughout life, as cheesy as that sounds. And in that moment, I don't think I would have been able to manage if it weren't for my sister and if it weren't for the fact that I'd already lost my parents. I've lost my parents. I can lose a house. I've lost my parents. I can lose a lantern. Better believe that my brother-in-law went right on Amazon and found a replacement top. Yes, he did. Will it be the one that was in my house for 40 years? It was fine for 40 years. It sat in the house for 40 years, give or take. And the second I bring it out of the house, it shatters. And to me, that says that it's going to stay with the house. There's going to be a piece of glass that we're not going to be able to pick up that'll probably be there forever. And maybe it'll get melted into the tar in the summertime and it'll become a piece of the tar. And whoever lives here is going to walk out and they're going to see a little beam of light shoot into their eye from the concrete below their feet on the driveway. And they're not even going to know where that came from. They're not even going to know that that lantern literally could not leave the house. It was like a vampire coming out of its coffin and the light killing it. The lantern was like, no, I can't go. I am a part of this house forever. And in turn, essentially, the house will be a part of me forever. That everything you love, you can carry with you. And that you don't have to take everything to remember it. You don't have to keep everything. You have everything you need to be able to access the memories that are most important to you and really think about the stuff that you're grabbing and ask yourself, are you able to let it go? Because if not, it might shatter. I do think it's a really beautiful metaphor that as tightly as I was gripping to this lantern and not wanting to let it go, I had to let it go anyways. And I have to be honest, letting it go made me feel better, even though it hurt in that moment. And my aunt said something really beautiful about giving stuff away. You know, it's important to donate while you're going through this process and to really let go. Just let go of all of it. Keep some stuff, but let go of as much of it as you can. And my aunt said that it was so meaningful to be able to donate nice things to people getting apartments. And she said that that meant that my mom will be a part of their new lives and my dad as well. But this house really represents my mom. And I thought that was such a beautiful way to look at it. If you have to let go of items in the house, that they get to be a part of someone else's lives forever. And maybe think about that next time you go thrifting or next time you get some donations or something given to you, that you're not just getting a mirror, you're getting a piece of someone and a piece of something that meant to somebody and a piece of somebody's life that meant something. And for anyone out there who gets the items in our house, thank you. And I hope that my mom doesn't haunt you too much. If you have boxed wine, I can't guarantee that it won't be gone in the morning because Nancy loved that stuff. And if you have Labatt's Blue, then that's going to be gone too because my dad used to love Labatt's Blue. But this is your lesson to let go, and this is your opportunity to let go. And I hope you're able to. I know that I had to physically let go and emotionally let go, and I couldn't do that without help. I couldn't do it without my family. I couldn't do it without my sister. And I do feel a little bit lighter on this side. And I know it's not over. I know we still have a few more days and the process isn't completely done, but I do feel like I'm more of an adult. And I do feel very grateful that I had a home and I was loved in this home, and that all those mixtapes I recorded turned into some career. Full circle, because here I am. Right back in my kitchen, recording my voice. Just like I used to do as a little girl, on top of my mom's Betty Crocker's cookbook. Well, I appreciate you guys so much, and I hope this helped you along your grief path, and I hope this episode brought you some light and some lessons and love and education or whatever you got from it. And I think my sister might pop in to say hello in a little bit. So thank you guys so much. Okay, and we're back with Emily Peluso, my sister. Emily DeMarco, sorry, I forget that you...
It's okay, I still keep the Peluso name.
You got rid of your name, that's rude, because Dad didn't have any boys, so I always joke that if I get married, the guy's going to have to be Mr. Peluso.
It's fine. I hyphenated my name on Facebook. Does that count?
Yeah, that counts.
Great.
Okay, so I just finished recording. I just did about an hour.
That's a long time.
And I gave them like a list of the things I learned about from the house and from the move and from selling the home and all the things I felt. Do you want me to read you the list?
Sure.
Okay, let me grab. Here we go. All right. Give yourself time and space. She already hates it.
This is the list.
Wait,
for what?
For like when you have to sell a home.
Oh, yeah.
Your childhood home.
Okay, yes. Give yourself time. Time.
Communicate with your siblings.
Oh, yeah.
Your wants, your needs, your fears.
100%. Don't swear at them on the phone, which I might have said.
She. You want to tell them what you did?
Can I swear?
Yeah.
I said, fuck you.
And she hung up the phone.
And then I felt bad right away. I hung up the phone. I said to my husband, I said, oh, that was not good. I should probably call her back. But I know if I call her back, she's not going to answer.
Did I?
No. There's that.
This one, I have you to thank. Calling in favors to friends and family.
Oh, yeah. You got to call in favors. You got to get those lesbian girls.
That's what I said. You
got to get the lesbians. They come in. They got their gloves and their Carhartts. They're ready. Give them some pizza and some sparkling water and we're fine.
They were just hauling stuff out.
They were in the dumpster.
They literally were in the dumpster putting on things we were throwing away.
Yeah. It was great.
This one you're going to laugh at.
Okay.
Sit in silence and be alone in the house.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Have you done it?
I mean, I've been here.
Alone?
No.
It's not your thing. It's not your vibe.
No.
Okay. Taking pics and videos.
Oh, I've done a lot of that.
Don't forget to eat because it's stressful.
Oh,
what? Oh,
yeah. I was hoping there's still pots and pans. Got some bone broth and some ramen. I'll be able to buy things that are a little more bougie once I get my check from mom's house. Thanks, mom. She did. Definitely have snacks.
I was crying this whole podcast. Okay, this one that Aunt Joan said something about. actually, Aunt Janet.
Pick one.
You can keep this one. I love them a lot. You'll like it. You can keep things by giving them away to people who you know.
100%. You give something to your aunt and they hold it for you in
and
case
when they die. You go get it back.
Oh, remember, I have Uncle Louie's ashes still.
By the way, Emily's running an ash service. Hey, do you have a family member who you kind of love but you didn't love and you want to have their ashes held up on someone's...
I'll put it on a mantle next to the fireplace. They're going to stay nice and cozy warm, or I'll put them outside and get a little breeze, whatever you need.
She's got how many ashes?
At least 10. And you brought another one the other day of Mom's dead dog, Maggie. What was our family dog? Right.
Wait, no, that's Grandma. There's another one. We have to bring Grandma. Right.
Another one. My husband told me when I came over, he goes, I hope that's not staying here. We have enough already. I said, okay. And I put it down next to the other ones. I don't really care. Okay. Too bad.
We're going to bring the chicken one. So if you guys have an urn filled with ashes of a family member you can't stand, send them to her mantle.
Send them.
Okay, number 8 was reminisce, cry, laugh, feel all
100%.
The feels.
You have to go through the emotions and experience the... I'm not getting close enough to the microphone, so I apologize.
Right in there.
Right in there.
Yeah, thank you, everybody.
You got to, you know, experience the emotion that you had with the item that you are holding. And even if it makes you cry, it's okay.
Yes. This is cheesy. This is my cheesiness. Thank the home. Like...
Oh, 100% thank the home. Right? I go in here and I say, thanks, Mom. Thanks for the memories. What did I do the other day? Oh, remember when I dropped the glass, the mug?
Oh, yeah. She broke a mug, which wasn't
sentimental.
It wasn't a sentimental mug.
I was trying to do something and I don't know. I hit it and it fell off. And then Jessica took one and threw it down and, you know, to try to like match me, and it didn't even break. So it took us 3 tries. And as soon as it hits the ground and smashes, my husband goes, watch out, don't damage the tile. I said, oh, God, we can't even have a moment without him ruining it.
We did have like a Greek wedding in here. She broke a mug. I smashed one with her. And then the last of the list I said is just, you got to let go.
Yes.
And you said you were impressed with all the shit I let go.
Yeah, I was really concerned that every little item that we touched, she was going to have a problem with. And there were some things I was kind of like, ooh. And she's like, throw it out. I was like, okay. We're throwing it out. We're throwing it out.
Okay. Is there anything that you learned so far, anything you want to share with them when they're selling their childhood home that people should consider?
If you have the opportunity, we were fortunate enough not to have to sell it right away. I think we were given like 3 years to kind of like mourn Mom's loss. And if we were forced to sell this house right away, it would have been awful. I think we've been able to like move through the grief in a different manner because we've had time to heal. So I think giving yourself time, if you can, holding on to it for a little bit longer might cost you a little bit if it has to. But I think like for me, going through everything was a lot less sad because it's a little bit removed. I don't know if that sounds terrible, but if I had to do this, you know, in 2020 or 2021, I don't think I would have been able to. I think I wouldn't have had a dumpster full of things. It would have been... I can't even go up to the attic to look at things because it would have been very depressing. So I'm glad I was given the time. We were given the time to kind of like everything settle emotionally, and then kind of it'll stir up again, but I don't think it stirs up as strong. So time is big.
I agree.
And surround yourself with family and friends. That always helps me. So, you know, find the family or friends that can understand your mom or know your mom or your dad or whoever died. Yeah. I think, you know, time and surrounding yourself with family and loved ones is very important.
Well, that's beautiful. We're going to do a full circle. We started this list with giving yourself time, and we're going to end it with giving yourself time. Love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. And you can check out the extra features on my Patreon page, patreon.com/JessieMayPeluso. Oh my God, Mom used to hit us with that.